That are you ready today to be encouraged? Yes. Amen? Yes. Are you ready to hear about the goodness of our God?
Yes.
Yeah? Are you ready to be challenged?
Yes.
Okay, that's good. Right, let's pray. Dear Lord, I just pray today for the words that I'm going to be speaking. Lord, I just pray that I decrease and you increase, Lord. That every word that is spoken is something which is for a person here, that is a direct word from you, Lord God. I pray that anything I'm planning to say that isn't from you, that you just stop me from saying that, Lord, and bring to mind the words that need to be spoken. I pray that spirits are receptive, that souls are ready to praise you, Lord. And I just thank you for this opportunity and for this time together. In Jesus' holy name, amen.
Amen.
So, this morning we are going to be talking about praising God. We're going to be talking about praising God despite our circumstances, regardless of our circumstances. Notwithstanding those circumstances, we're going to say, yet will I praise him. Yet will I praise him. Turn with me, if you will, to Exodus chapter 16. In fact, Exodus chapter 13. Do you know what I'm doing? I'm saying 16 because last week Dave preached from Exodus chapter 16. And I sat there thinking, he's doing the start of my talk. What's going on here? But God does that sometimes. You know, last week Dave spoke about the fact that God is sufficient for the day. And he is sufficient for the day, isn't he? But if we could turn to Exodus 13 so that we don't just have the same sermon as last week, that's probably a better idea. And we're going to start from verse 17. Then it came to pass, when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God did not lead them by the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest perhaps the people change their minds when they see war and return to Egypt. So God led the people around by way of the wilderness of the Red Sea, and the children of Israel went up in orderly ranks out of the land of Egypt. And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had placed the children of Israel under solemn oath, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones here with you. So they took their journey from Succoth and camped beneath them at the edge of the wilderness. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, so as to go by day and night. He did not take away the pillar of cloud by day or the pillar of fire by night from before the people. And then chapter 14 starts by telling us that Pharaoh's heart was hardened and he decided he shouldn't have let the people go, and he starts to go after them. He sends his chariots, the force chosen by the Egyptians at that time, to pursue them. And pick up again in chapter 14, verse 9. So the Egyptians pursued them, all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh, his horsemen and his army, and overtook them, camping by the sea beside Pi-Hahiroth, before Baal-Zephon, excuse my poor pronunciation. And when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. So they were very afraid, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. Verse 13, and Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. And the Lord said to Moses, why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward. And we're going to pick out just sort of a few points from this passage, which is really relevant to parallels in our lives today. So going back to chapter 13, verse 17, it says, it came to pass, Pharaoh had let the people go, God didn't lead them by the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest perhaps the people change their minds when they see war and return to Egypt. So God led the people by way of the wilderness. And sometimes in our lives, we feel as though we're being led to a wilderness. And we go, God, what are you doing? Why is this happening? Why am I going through this situation, this wilderness, this thing which is not perfect in my own mind? But God knows what we can cope with. He is sufficient for the day, as we heard last week. He knows what you need in your life. You may look at that and go, that's much nearer. My common sense, my human logic tells me to go that near way. But God says, no, your plan A is not my plan A. I have a much better plan for you. I have something which I know I can give you the resource to deal with. It may feel like a wilderness, but God is there to deal with that. He is there to give you the resource that you need for this day, for this moment. When I was a child, I used to spend Saturday afternoons with a dear old lady called Olive, and she used to teach me craft. I used to spend hours doing cross stitches and things, and she was an amazing woman of God, and she used to always be talking to me about the Bible and about God in my life. And she said, look at this cross stitch. And I don't think it was an analogy that she came up with. I think it's one that I've heard before, but it was the first time I'd heard it as a sort of 10-year-old. look at this cross stitch, look underneath and how messy it is. I wasn't great at cross stitch, I'll be honest. I didn't keep it very neat. And look how messy it is. The threads go in all sorts of directions and you can't work out what the picture's going to look like. Now turn it over and see the picture that you've made. This is like God, Naomi. He sees the top. You see underneath, you see all the threads of your lives, and sometimes you can't work out why it looks so messy, why it's like that. But God sees the picture that he's creating in your life. He knows the reason you're in a wilderness for a while, because he's taking you to something so much better and so much that's right for you. Verse 21, and the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light. Just imagine for a moment what that would have been like as one of the Israelites travelling through that wilderness. This isn't small. This isn't something that you go, yeah, look, if you look really closely over there, there's a little pillar of fire. It's not really very noticeable. This is incredible. Incredible. Can you imagine with me for a moment a pillar of fire that lights up the night? The noise, the sound that would make, the incredible intensity of that fire. This is God in an awesome, glorious way saying, I am with you. I am with you. And do you know what? Sometimes you might be in the wilderness, but God is with you and he is worthy of being praised. He is worthy of being praised. And yet the situation gets worse. The Egyptians start to pursue them. So chapter 14, verse 9, the Egyptians pursued them, all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh. It said he had 600 chariots. Now, each of those chariots would have been led by two thoroughbred horses. You'd have had two strapping men, warriors on that chariot, one driving it with their shield and the other fully armed. And they were bearing down. It says they pursued and overtook them. This is a terrible situation. God doesn't leave them. Those pillars are still there, still leading them. And yet it doesn't make sense to them. And whatever you're going through today, whatever situation you're facing, whether that is difficulty at work, whether that is a depression that overwhelms you, whether that's sickness that makes it hard for you to see how you're going to get through the next day, whether it's challenges at school, with friendships, with situations you have to deal with, whether you're just fed up trying to be a good child, a good mum, a good husband, a good parent, whatever it is, God is still with you. And I'm not belittling that. Pain hurts. Sickness hurts. Marriage breakdown hurts. All of the situations that we face in our lives, I'm not saying that they don't hurt, that they don't matter, but God is there. And God is still worthy of being praised. And he sees your distress. He sees your pain. When Hannah in 1 Samuel 1, when she cried out and she wept to God because she was barren and she wanted a child, and Eli said to her, God has seen you. He hears you. He sees that pain. When Hagar and Ishmael in Genesis 21, when they were banished because Isaac had been born and Sarah didn't want them there anymore, and they'd been banished, and Hagar thought that her son Ishmael would die, and God, it says God saw her weeping. And he said, do not fear. In Matthew 10, 21, when God said that that every sparrow that falls, he sees every sparrow. Even that sparrow, he counts the hairs on your head, it says. He cares. He's not looking at your pain and ignoring your pain. He's not looking at that situation you're in and saying, it doesn't matter to me. Of course it matters. He sees it. He knows it. And he's still worthy of being glorified. In chapter 14, verse 13, Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. They are not out of their situation. When he says, don't be afraid, they're not out of their situation at that point. The Egyptians are still there. They have still overtaken them. They're still bearing down on them. And yet, you don't have to be afraid. And what replaces fear? Praising God. Glorifying God. That's what replaces our fear. And then lastly, in chapter 14 of this section, I haven't finished yet, don't worry. Chapter 14, verse 15, it says, the Lord said to Moses, why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward. And do you know what? Sometimes we have those sort of instructions. Keep going. And you look at your situation and you go, you must be joking. This can't be the right answer. We have the Egyptians' army around us, ahead of us. We have the sea, Moses, the sea. You're telling us to go forward. And sometimes going forward feels as though you're going deeper into the waters. And if we turn, if you don't mind, to Isaiah 43, verse 2. In fact, we'll just catch up the end of verse 1 at the end there. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. Amen. Hallelujah. Do you hear this? Fear not, for I have redeemed you. Past tense, you are redeemed. This is not something that God still needs to do. He has redeemed you. He is redeeming. He will redeem. But that is done. The perfect work was done on the cross for you. You are redeemed. And it says, when you pass through the waters. Not if. It's not an if there. Life doesn't say, you know, actually you might manage to get through this life with no trouble at all. It is a when. When you pass through the waters, they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned. We will all deal with situations that are a wilderness to us. It might be a sickness. It might be a long-term illness. It might be just a health issue that continues to bother. It might be your children. As parents, someone said to me a while ago, and it's quite a depressing thought, but I'll throw it in anyway. They said that you're only ever as happy as your saddest child. I was like, wow, that's actually kind of true. Because as parents, we take on the trouble that our children go through, the difficulty they go through. And between Steve and I, we have 7 children. So we need to praise God, don't we? Because we're going to have trouble otherwise. But it's true, you take on the pain of others. If they're going through a marriage breakdown, if they're going through sickness, if they're going through depression, you take it on. And it can be overwhelming. It can feel overwhelming, but fear not. The waters will not overflow you. You will not be burned. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Amen. And if we look on then to, I have no idea why I'm on my notes. If we go on to verse 7 of Isaiah 43, it says, everyone who is called in my name, whom I have created for my glory, I have formed him, yes, I have made him. It says, I've created for my glory. We are created for God's glory. So why should we not fear? Oh, because we are created for God's glory. That's what we're created for, his glory, to worship him, to praise him. God is enough. Do you know that? God is enough. Psalm 103 says, bless the Lord, O my soul. All that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies you with good things, so your youth is renewed like the eagles. That's Psalm 103. And David there, he teaches us something so powerful, doesn't he? Because he says, he is telling his soul. He's not just going, well, you know, don't really need to take any action here. Doesn't need to be sincere. Bless the Lord, O my soul. He's telling his soul, and all that is within me. He knows that it cannot be an insincere thing. If we're going to bless the Lord, regardless of circumstance, we have to tell ourselves, we have to speak to ourselves. Look at yourself in the mirror, be slightly crazy. That's okay. Look at yourself in the mirror and tell yourself, bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul. All that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all your iniquities. Are you forgiven, church? Amen? You are forgiven. He forgives all your iniquities. Are you redeemed? Amen? He redeems your life from destruction. Are you healed, regardless of circumstance? He heals all your diseases. He crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. Oh, my soul, bless him. Bless him. Whatever I'm going through, whatever situation you are going through, bless the Lord. And this isn't a kind of a blessing where, you know, you go, oh, bless you. You know, your little child thought, oh, bless you. And it's someone greater blessing someone weaker. That's not what this is. But when you bless and honour God, He is glorified, and that's what we're here for. Amen. You know, forget the wilderness that you walk through. Forget the sea ahead of you and the Egyptians behind you. They're there. There's no promise that we won't have those situations when you walk through the waters, when you walk through the fire. There's no promise that in this life we won't have those things. But God. Amen. Amen? But God, the healer of our diseases, the restorer of our soul, the holy of holies. But God, is he worthy of praise? Amen? Amen? He is majesty. He created the heavens and the earth. He threw the stars into existence and knows them by name. He counts the hairs on your head. Is he worthy of praise? Amen? Amen. Whatever situation you're going through, he redeems you. He has redeemed you. He has restored you. Change is hard. Change is hard. When we lose Deborah and Mary in May, that's hard. Change is hard. If we move to a morning service at a different place, sometimes change is hard. But do you know what? Instead of grumbling about the change, instead of fearing it, instead of worrying about it, let's praise God. Amen. Amen. He is the Lord of Lords. He is the King of Kings. He is worthy of our praise. Some of those songs we sung this morning were just, you know, they're perfect for telling your soul. Telling your soul. He is worthy. I was listening to a song in the car on the way here this morning called Miracle by Chris Killilla in Jesus Culture. And it's a beautiful song. And it's he and his wife wrote it just after they lost their little boy, after the little boy died. After. And they've been praying for his healing, and they've been praying for him not to die, and he died. And their response at that point in their lives, in that grief and that mourning and that misery, at that point in their lives, their response was to say, I believe in you. You are the God of miracles. The same who made the eyes to see, the blind to see, the same one who raises the dead to life. He is here, and he is moving. And I believe in you, and you are the God of miracles. And we have to tell our souls sometimes, because don't get me wrong, there are many days when the circumstances overwhelm, you know. My husband was a real inspiration to me going through his cancer treatment because he never feared, never feared. But there are times when circumstances overwhelm. But God, amen, but God, bless the Lord, oh my soul. All that is within me, bless his holy name. Isaiah 40, sorry, we're jumping around a little bit, but probably shouldn't apologise for jumping around the word of God, hey? Isaiah 40, verse 27, it says, why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, my just claim is passed over by God? That's so often our response, isn't it? Sorry, it's Isaiah 40, verse 27. So often our response to being in situations that we don't understand, that we don't like, that don't make sense to us, that weren't what we planned, we go, well, why? Well, God's not listening. God's always listening. God's not listening. Why hasn't he done this yet? Why hasn't he healed me yet? If I was God, that's almost what we're saying, isn't it? If I was God, I would have dealt with it immediately. He can do it. I know he can do it. So why hasn't he done it yet? And that's so often our response. But listen to this, to verse 28. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary. The young men shall utterly fail. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. This is not about age. This is not about time of your life. This is not about if you're young, if you're just coming into adulthood, then you know you've got everything going for you. Because do you know what? Even the young men fall. Even the youth, their strength will fail. It has nothing to do with age, and God is no respecter of that. If you lean on God, if you turn to God, if you press into God, if you tell your soul to bless God, you will glorify him. Those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Yet will I praise him. The situation here the precursor for these verses is, though Jacob, O Israel, saying, my way is hidden, he's not listening to me. This isn't in the middle of a good situation that you have to be reminded of God's goodness. It is in the middle of your worst circumstance that you have to be reminded of God's goodness. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord. We don't worship God because of what he does for us. We worship God because of who he is. And he is still God, regardless of who I am, regardless of where I am and my circumstance. He is still good. He is still God. He is still holy. He is still glorious. He is still worthy of my praise. And I encourage you today, I implore you today, to put aside, not to belittle your circumstance. Pain is still pain. But if you are dealing with depression, if you are dealing with mental health issues, if you are dealing with some sort of suffering, if you are hurting because someone you love is hurting, press into God. Praise him. He is still God. He is still worthy. He will be worthy from the creation of the world until the very end of time. Psalm 27. I love Psalm 27. Verse 8 is such a cry. I won't read the whole psalm. But verse 8 is such a cry when it says, when you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Verse 13, I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Thank you, Lord. I just praise you and I worship you and I thank you for the opportunity to share these words today. I pray, Lord, that you would just awaken in people this week the awareness of you, the awareness of your spirit, the decision, the conscious daily decision to bless you, Lord, to praise you, Lord, to glorify your name despite circumstance, despite not always understanding the situations we're in. Lord, I just praise you now. I worship you. I adore you for who you are, for the God that created all of this, Lord, for the God that is here with us, for the God whose presence is but a moment away, because you want to be with us. You are the rushing mighty wind and you are the gentle breeze. You are the waters that roar and you are that refreshing taste. You are, Lord, incredible, mighty, worthy God. And you are that intimate friend, that comfort, that lover. Lord, you are so much more than my words could ever describe. But I pray that somehow in each heart we capture a sense of the awesome power of who you are. In Genesis 33, Moses wants to see God's glory. And he says to God, show me your glory. And God, you can almost feel him going, you can't see my glory, Moses. You know, you wouldn't live. If you saw my glory, you wouldn't be able to see my glory and still live. And so he says, right, what I'm going to do. I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm sure God doesn't quite talk like this, but let's just paraphrase it for a moment. And God says, what I'm going to do, there's this sort of cleft in the rock. If you hide in there, and I will put my hand over you, and I will pass. And as I pass, I'll remove my hand, and you can just see my back. Because anything more than that would kill you, because my glory is so great. And despite the fact that only all Moses saw was the departing back of God, he glowed. When he came down from the mountain, the people couldn't look at him. Because he was glowing. Glory of God, people. That was the Old Testament. That was the Old Covenant. We now have that relationship with God. That we can enter his presence. That we won't be struck down dead when we enter his presence. That God is available to you. And he's there for you to worship. Yeah. What a privilege. Yeah. What an incredible privilege. The Lord said, seek my face, your face, Lord, I will seek. Tim, would you mind coming up to lead us in a couple of songs to close? Thank you. I'll leave you there. Thank you.